Red Spotters, welcome to the program. I'm your host, Kyle Lira, and welcome to Red Spotlight number 69. This is not going to go the way you think. With me on the panel, I have Peter Martinez right here, and I have Alexis Soto, and today we have a lot of stuff to talk about. First of all, we're going to be talking about The Last Jedi. They finally released a trailer and a theatrical poster, which the trailer, pretty much, we have equal thoughts on it. The poster, 2 out of 1 divided, and a little bit of New Mutants. They released a little preview of what that looks like, a little bit of a Justice League, and then Sylvester Stallone going into the whole director seat, and then a little bit of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Agents of Space, all right here on Red Spotlight number 69. Once nerds come and tune into to a thing called sports and go and watch a thing called football, and on October 9th on a Monday Night Football, they were released, Lucasfilm released a new Last Jedi trailer, and it was released along with a theatrical poster. Now, guys, what did we think about that trailer?
Well, first of all, hi, I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking. I think Peter is doing just as fine as I am. And I have to say, I am in a jolly good mood considering that all the DC CW shows are crashing and burning with series lows after series lows. And even Gotham is getting out on the fun as well. So.
Okay, Peter.
I am alive.
You're alive. Let's talk.
Well,
let's talk turkey, guys.
We should probably start with the poster, since the poster was released first.
By like an hour.
Yeah. But still, you gotta baby step your way in. That's all I'm saying. I like it. I think it is a really good poster. First of all, it's just I think it's an incredibly well-made poster. I love the vibrant red in it, which has been there this entire time for the entire Star Wars Last Jedi campaign. I sent you guys that photo where it's right next to the rest of the Star Wars posters, and it stands out, but it also is very reminiscent of those as well, and I think it's a welcome addition for the official Star Wars posters of Episode 1 through 8. Overall, I really enjoy it, and I think it's a great looking poster and a great addition to the official Star Wars poster lineup. That's my thoughts.
I don't like this poster. I think that it's just all the promo shots of all the characters just spliced together.
You know what a poster is, right?
Yeah, it's something to tell you about the movie, and to me, at least to me, I don't get nothing out of the poster other than that it's a Star Wars movie, which, no shit.
Do you get something out of the Return of the Jedi poster?
To me, the poster that really gets me is the one where Luke is holding the lightsaber.
The official one. The official one. Do you get anything out of that poster?
Not particularly.
Or The Empire Strikes Back.
Empire Strikes Back, I get something out of it.
It's exactly what you described. It's just the promo shots.
There was no promo shots for all that.
All it was Darth Vader in the background, the whole picture of Han and Leia, and then just Luke there. You get to, like, just grab out of the film and just spliced onto a poster. It was painted beautifully.
Or how about this? The Force Awakens poster.
Yeah, The Force Awakens did the same thing.
The Force Awakens poster combined the classic trilogy with the prequel trilogy. They combined both styles, and that tells me, you guys get prepared for something new. Star Wars is back. And that is what I got from The Force Awakens theatrical poster. With this, I got nothing. I got nothing from the theatrical poster.
But okay, if we're going to take what you said, what you levied against the poster for Episode 8, the spliced together promotional images, you kind of didn't address that with the Force Awakens poster.
I'll say, if you feel that way, I think that's fine. Like, I no issues, I understand. Me personally, I really like it, and I don't exactly see why you feel that way, but if you feel that way...
Alexis, I'm pretty sure you love it, yes?
Yes.
Star Wars, bitch.
I am in love entirely with this poster, and it was really one of those effects where you just keep looking at it and you're just mesmerized by how amazing it looks. I do think it stands out largely because of the red. There's a lot of red in it, but I do think
it's red. It's so special because it's red.
In regards to the poster itself, it does, I think, improve on the poster for The Force Awakens, because a lot of people have this critique, and I understand it, that there was just so much going on that it kind of was not all over the place, but a lot of the characters just kind of were like, I'm not going to say they blend in together, but there's just like, maybe it doesn't go, they don't all fit in the most neatly. Whereas here in The Last Jedi poster, you have your core six. You have Luke and Leia and Rey and Ben and Poe and Finn. And I actually, aesthetically anyway, I think it's an improvement on the Force Awakens poster. And honestly, the more that I look at it, the more I'm thinking this is probably even better than the Force Awakens
poster. I'll say right now, I do think it's better. Like I said, I don't get the whole thing with, like, you don't get anything from the movie. Star Wars posters have always been, like, a collage of the film. This might be a departure, or it might just be telling from the way the film is gonna go, is the way in which, Luke lords over the entire poster. Like I said, I really enjoy the way, because what I'm really getting from this film is that it's not going to be Rey's movie. It's going to be Rey and Kylo Ren's movie. They're pretty much going to be co-leads of this film. And you see that in this poster. And their influence, or the influence that Luke has on them, you see that within the poster. Plus, just the way it's placed and the way it's done, the way the red bleeds into white, and then you see the little, I don't even know what those things are, but the way that, like, they bring up dust is obviously going to be this huge sequence that's going to be exactly like Empire. but I like the way the red from that bleeds into that, which creates white and then red. Just visually, I think it's an incredibly well-done poster, and plus... One of the issues I had with the Force Awakens poster was the blue and orange thing. Anytime I see a poster that's blue and orange, like a modern day poster, I immediately just like, I kind of push it away. Like, stop. No, I'm tired. I am done. Every single damn poster for a big blockbuster that comes out is blue and orange, blue and orange, blue and orange, blue and orange. And they have the balls to go with an interesting color scheme. So
I think the theatrical poster really does in a lot of way accomplish what a theatrical poster for Star Wars does. And honestly, the more I look at it, the more I think this is one of the best ones.
Is it going to go up on your wall?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Of course.
No doubt.
Let's get into the trailer.
Yes, let's get into the trailer. So, the trailer was released after many, many months. And I love the trailer. I cried.
You loved the Star Wars trailer and you cried. Wow, that I've never heard of that before.
Yes, I cried and it was amazing. And there we have the Force theme, and I cried like a little baby for like 3 hours, and all the rest was history. That's all she wrote. It was an amazing trailer. I thought a lot of callbacks to different things in Star Wars. It's that thing I know, Peter. That moment, specifically the moment where Kylo Ren has his hands on the trigger. And we're going to assume that that's the way that Leia is going to go. And I completely lost my shit. I'm like, no, she cannot go out like this. No, no. But I mean, it makes sense. He destroyed one side of his family, gonna destroy another, and I got chills. So nice hearing new John Williams, because John Williams makes the score for every single trailer that's released from Star Wars, and to me, I was completely in it. I can't wait. December 15th, get here quicker. Guys, I talked enough. I'm gonna start crying again. Go in, Alexis and Peter, go in and talk, please.
This trailer was just fucking incredible.
It was insane, dude.
It was the absolute best trailer I've seen in my life. The best trailer of all time. I'll even put it out there.
Dude, I came three times.
Sensational.
Yes.
It was sensational.
Sensational, you know, even.
Okay. I think a big reason for why I think I reacted so much more to this is because I don't usually see trailers as big as this in the company of friends who love Star Wars. Like, usually we all see the trailers separately, but I had the actual privilege of watching it with our good friends Alexis Moreno and Nettie Valdez, both of who have been frequent guests on the show.
Tell me, what were their expressions?
It was amazing because we were actually recording something in the middle of it, and I had just like I had my phone on silent, and I was just watching the images of the trailer play out.
Yeah.
And then Alexis realized I was watching it, and then she was like, I want to see. So like we're just like watching it, and we get to the part
did she cry?
Well, hold up, I'm gonna get there right now. We get to the part where Kylo Ren is about to kill Leia, and she literally, like, I don't know what happened, but I had to pause it because she was on the verge of tears. Like, she was literally like, she couldn't even, like, literally.
Even with this place.
I had to stop the trailer in the middle because she, like, just to pause it because she needed to just react, like,
breathe.
From what she just saw.
Just breathe.
And then Nettie joined in, and we started the trailer from the beginning. At this point, mind you, I still haven't even seen the end of it. I had only even seen halfway through. So this time, we're all experiencing it at the same time. We watch it all the way through, and then when we get to the end, we all just scream, like, what?
What the flying fuck is going on? Isn't it glorious?
It's like, It was such a turn. Alexis,
where's Russell Crowe? Where's Russell Crowe? Are you not entertained?
Alexis was squealing. Nettie was in disbelief, and I was just, well, honestly, it's
perfect.
It's incredible. It is.
It's amazing, dude. Peter, what do you think? Wasn't Star Wars: The Last Jedi teaser, trailer, whatever it is, part two, amazing? Wasn't it cool? Oh my god.
Insert
the part where Peter crushes dreams. Take one.
I think I hate Star Wars now.
There we go.
The last 5 minutes gave me an aneurysm.
Cut. That was beautiful. That was amazing. You did your job well, Peter. Good job.
There was no Justice League trailer.
Well, we'll get to that. But it was pretty damn close.
We could be heroes just for one day.
Thank you for hurting everyone's ears.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that really...
I am... Oh, God. I love Star Wars, but gee whiz, do I not overdo it like that. I thought it was a good trailer. Yes. Yeah, it was a good trailer. It was very well done.
It's amazing. What do you mean
as,
well done?
As a whole, this film is the one that I am looking forward to the most out of any of Star Wars' future installments. I already believe that this is going to be considered the best Star Wars film of the new trilogy. And you can even throw in whatever stupid spin-offs you want to, because they are all going to be crap.
But it's not just there. I think from what we're seeing, and I want to elaborate on what you were saying here, is that everything in this trailer was literally a visual representation of everything I've wanted this movie to be.
And then some.
Because it's very much like mirroring the original film, but this is so much new things we're getting here. But then also to say to you, I think this might be such a great magnitude that it might even rival the best of the Star Wars films.
Well, this film, I think not since Empire, and I'm including The Force Awakens, feels like it's being handled by of just a fine craftsman that is every step of the way. You have no worry. Like
the sheer caliber of everything we're watching. It's like, and we're talking obviously about Rian Johnson, the director of this film. And like I told Peter the other day, it's very much like you can tell that every little piece of the marketing, every little piece of this movie came directly by Rian Johnson. You can feel the director's vision taking front and center. With this trailer, what was front and center? It wasn't the visuals. It wasn't Star Wars is back. The story is what matters most.
First of all, just the fact that there was a little callback that I got from.
Oh my God! Star Wars had a callback?
Yes.
They never do that.
I know.
It never gets to you either.
There needs to be more callbacks.
They made a movie of it.
What is it called? What is it called?
Alexis, no.
Rogue One, a Star Wars Rogue story. One,
that's oh what it my was God! all seriousness, there was a callback, and I really loved it. And it was the callback where Luke says, you know, if I saw that power before, it didn't scare me then, it scared me now. I just felt that scene when...
That's not a callback.
Are you sure?
What do you think that's a callback to?
To that scene when in Empire Strikes Back, when Yoda says, you know, when he's telling Yoda, "I'm not afraid. You will be. You will be." And I got that sense that, you know, the first time that he was afraid. This is all speculation. I could be out of my fucking mind, but
he's talking about Kylo Ren.
He's talking about Kylo?
I guarantee you, I will put it on Alexis's life, that what he's talking about...
Which Alexis? Is,
pick one. It's fine, either one. I guarantee you, he's talking about when Kylo was young and he had this very erratic power within him. He wasn't afraid of it, you know. I think he was high on the fact that he himself was able to overcome the dark side, and that it was his destiny to bring forward the return of the Jedi, you know, wink, wink. And he wasn't afraid, and I think after everything went to shit, he's like, I am afraid now at what you can do. I don't think it's a callback to Yoda, but I think that's a great segue into what some people may have an issue with. Which is, it's just a remake of Empire. And let me throw out a few things that are that seem similar.
The AT-ATs.
Not only that, but the AT-ATs look like they're attacking the Rebel base as they are trying to escape. Very similar to the beginning of Empire when they're trying to escape. And the AT-ATs are there attacking them, trying to take them down. You have the older teacher teaching the new... some would say whiny pupil. You have the group dynamic completely split up, so they're all going their separate ways.
Rey's not a whiny pupil. She's a Mary Sue, though.
She's a Mary Sue. She can be both. She can be both. She's such a Mary Sue that she can be both.
breaking new grounds here in Star Wars.
And I... also, just the whole thing of the that Emperor is Snoke to Kylo's Vader and that... And I can understand that, and I can understand people's worry, because that's me as well. Although it's something that I don't want. I don't want to see anything close to what Empire was. I want a brand new, entertaining, adventure Star Wars story that takes these characters and pushes them and twists them in different ways. And just looking at all the marketing and this director's past films, mm-hmm. and just... at the trailers, and you see, like, wow, he's really got his shit together on every level, character, acting, visually, even the music, I think, sounds better than The Force Awakens. So I'm putting my trust in him. I from what I see, they're hinting at some pretty interesting things, and hopefully they're not just hints. Hopefully they really lead to something, and again, I trust this director enough to think that it's not just false, throwing out false flags. It really is. It's something that's going to happen.
I think it's pretty clear that the questions that are being thrown at us as far as the big mystery for Episode 8, I think it's pretty clear at this point that those, that it's not, they're not like, it's pretty clear that they're not going to be diminished, if that's what I want to say. These questions, like, it's time for the Jedi to end, or Rey joining forces with Kylo Ren, I think, or, like, what is the Jedi anymore? All of these things are going to be addressed heavily. I never for one moment expected or thought that if you're going to unveil these questions and throw them out at the audience in a trailer, and especially if you're Star Wars, you're going to throw these kind of questions out to Star Wars fans and then produce a film that doesn't really answer those questions, or at least do something interesting with that. That would be an abysmal failure. Mm-hmm. But I think it's pretty clear at this point that that's not going to be the case. And I think Rian Johnson really, and I, you know, Peter likes to make fun of that video that came out a couple months back where everybody on cast and crew was saying, well, this is such a different Star Wars film. Well, I don't know. I think based on who Rian Johnson is and what he's doing, especially since we've heard a lot of Mark Hamill, mm-hmm. a lot of Mark Hamill in particular was actually disagreed with a lot of what Rian Johnson took in the direction of this character. So I think there is more than enough evidence to suggest that Rian Johnson...
he's going balls deep.
I will say, if you go back to The Force Awakens, the same making of video that they did, their emphasis wasn't on story. It was on practical effects.
Yes.
So the very fact that they're making of, their emphasis is on the story, to me is already a good sign.
It's a much better sign.
I'll put it that way, yeah.
No, if you look back at the marketing in general for The Force Awakens, it was a combination of two things. Practical effects, and we're back, guys. Come watch us. The story was never front and center in any of the marketing for The Force Awakens.
Well, it's because...
It is here.
Well, it's because with The Force Awakens, I understand why the story wasn't on the front and center, because they're trying to keep everything hush-hush, you know?
And I appreciate it, then. I think it made the experience even better.
Yeah. And, but with the story, yeah, you have, like, everybody wants to know what happens with these characters. You know, everybody's now fallen in love with these characters and had all...
Well, yeah, here's the thing, though. Here's what you have to consider. Look, The Force Awakens was such a success that we already care so much about Kylo and Rey.
Yeah.
And also the stuff that we saw here. Very quickly, though, I mean, how amazing was that shot of Finn and Phasma going at it?
Yeah, and then you see the glow on her mask and all that.
You mean reflection?
Yeah,
she doesn't glow.
No, the glow from the but yeah, to emphasize, yeah, that was a great shot. There's a lot of great shots.
No, but in general, if you look at it, if you really look at it, I think this film, like even the poster, is going to improve on the predecessor on every single front. Think about the visual effects. Think about the action sequences you saw there. And then think back to Force Awakens. No disrespect to the film, but I think one of the least successful things about The Force Awakens was probably the visual effects in terms of
CG.
Yes, and then also the choreography of the action sequences themselves. Like, again, I'll always say this. Like, whenever we're in the third act of The Force Awakens and Poe is leading the attack on Starkiller Base, my attention's more on Rey. It's all of it, really, is on Rey and Kylo.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to get some really cool space battles here, too. And ground battles and all kinds of battles.
And battles!
You know what makes those battles really, like, awesome? When you care about the people in them.
Is she going to turn to the dark side? Question mark.
I'm leaning on the side of yes, and also I want her to. I think I told Alexis my theory. I kind of have a long, elaborate theory, so give me a second here.
You'll like it, Kyle. I think
Kyle's
like
just
it.
Giving me a dirty side eye.
Okay, go on.
Yes, I like Star Wars too, Kyle. Yes. First of all, the movie opens... They just shoot Leia and then we move on.
that's episode 9.
That's episode 9, sorry. No, this is what I think what's going to happen. And even though I understand that episode 7, they had no idea what they were basically making it up as they go along, and they had nothing planned out. But I think when you look at episode 7, there's definitely ideas that and hints that laid the groundwork for what I think is going to happen in episode 8, and also what I hope to happen. I think Rey and Kylo Ren will do a little switcheroo. I think Rey, because if you look, a lot of the times when Rey used the Force, and we got into this whole thing with Alexis, in The Force Awakens, you can interpret it. I kind of see her using anger when she uses the Force in The Force Awakens. And I can see her. I think the arc for this one is her falling to the dark side and Kylo Ren emerging from the dark side. Because if you think about it, if he was truly his true arc was to become more dark and become the ultimate villain. Mm-hmm. After he killed Han Solo, he should have been more powerful than ever, but he was more weak than ever. What's his name? Snoke told him, once you pass this test, you know, you will be something now. You know, it's basically sort of the test that Luke had from Yoda before he became a Jedi. He had to face Darth Vader.
There's also a theory going around that it wasn't actually Kylo who pressed it. It was actually Han.
Okay. But you see, like, he just doesn't have it in him. He is not of the dark side, no matter how hard he tries, and that's sort of been his character from the beginning. He's afraid that he will never be as great as Darth Vader. And I think his character arc is him realizing that, losing that fear, and not wanting to become Darth Vader. He moves away from that. So that's the first part of my theory, going back to the beginning as to who Rey is. This is some deep cut shit. I think that Snoke, first of all, it doesn't have to be, but this will probably make the most sense. Snoke is Plagueis. And you remember that theory about Darth Vader is the way that he manifested or was created by the Force was because Plagueis and Sidious had been trying to discover how to create life and prevent death. And there was hints and legends that the creation of Darth Vader came from them testing that, and they created accidentally or on purpose created Darth Vader. And I think Plagueis could be Rey could be Plagueis perfecting what they had tried to do with Vader and creating Rey. That's why she's so hashtag Mary Sue. And she's so powerful off the bat. And like, she was bred to be this, you know, ball of force. Just so powerful. And that really causes her to just not understand who she is. Like, that last line she has, I need you to help me, you know, find my place in all this.
Well, I need someone to be just to be clear.
Maybe she's not talking to Kylo Ren. Maybe she's talking to Snoke.
But that's the thing. I mean, to continue, go ahead.
That's one theory. I'm probably going to be 100% wrong, but I think
it's an interesting theory.
Kind of like it. I'll throw it out.
I would like that because I would go to some place that Star Wars has never gone before.
Yeah, the final.
And plus, that will bring it all back to like the prequels and tie everything together.
I think it would work.
I mean, just to add a little bit more to that, I think there was two things to point out. I think some would infer that Snoke may already know who Rey is because of that line when Kylo Ren told him about this girl, and then he was like, "What girl?" And he seemed very agitated about that. And remember that Rey being, I think it's becoming more obvious now that Rey was obviously abandoned for a reason. And remember, you can't dismiss when you go back to The Force Awakens and everyone literally gives her this look of, huh,
who is she?
Literally. Yes. And they keep making a point out of it. And then also to answer those Mary Sue bitches. Okay. So she's a bad character because she's so powerful. When in reality, I think at this point it's pretty clear her being super powerful is kind of the point of the character and will play a big role in The Last Jedi and in the future of Rey. So, you know.
Also, you remember after The Force Awakens, a lot of people wanted it to just be like, oh, she's not a Skywalker. She's just some random girl. Like, her parentage doesn't matter. And it's like, basic filmmaking 101, I could turn out to be wrong. And it's like, oh, she's some girl. I would hate that. I genuinely would hate that if that was what happened. But the way they just so much they did this, they set it up in The Force Awakens. Like you said so many times, girl, what girl? Who is she? The way they included her parentage and alluded to that so much, you know it's supposed to mean something significant within the story. To go from The Force Awakens to The Last Jedi and them to brush it aside, it's like, oh, it doesn't care who her parents were. She's just some girl. It would be so jarring, and I think just so ridiculous story-wise for them to do that. Also, I think it would not work at all.
Also, when you hear Snoke in the beginning of it, and Snoke is saying, you know, when I found you, you know, all I saw was raw power. That could not be.
I think he's talking about Rey. I think he's talking to Rey.
Yeah.
I think it's clear now. Again, to mirror what Sidious wanted. Like, remember, Sidious had all these apprentices. He always wanted Anakin. I think Snoke is after Rey. Because, honestly, Rey kicked the shit out of Kylo Ren.
Also, that's another thing, too. When they finally have their final confrontation in Episode 9, it'll actually be something. Because the good guy got his ass kicked. The good guy now, which would be Kylo Ren, or Ben by then, got his ass kicked back in the first episode. And now she has just gotten even more powerful, like three times as powerful as she was.
She cracked the ground.
Yeah. But I think it would be interesting because this time he'd be able to overcome her because he's not lost within himself. He's found peace and he knows who he is. That's why he'd be able to overcome her. I think it would work, and I think it would be interesting for the whole universe. Could be wrong,
I think it's a fun theory, but also just to speculate even further, a lot of people were pointing this out. What if Rey and Kylo just joined to be with each other away from the Sith and the Jedi?
They're like, peace out, y'all. That could happen, too.
Would you be mad if that went that way?
I would be interested, but again, it would... not throw shade at JJ, I would be afraid for episode 9 because I wouldn't want him to take an interesting setup and then just be like, drag it back to what we already know. Like, he takes that and then it's like, okay, at the beginning of the next film, restart it to, okay, she's the good guy and he's the bad guy. I wouldn't want that.
Or they wind up both good at the end. Because
that's what happened with the original trilogy.
But again, that's the whole point of Star Wars. That's the whole overarching thing of Darth Vader. It's the whole theme. Redemption.
Oh, yeah.
Redemption is one of the biggest themes in Star Wars.
That's why I think it would work well with Kylo Ren, but not with
Rey.
Well, at this point, Rey has nothing to be redeemed of at the moment anyway. Also, one thing that can't be neglected, the acting in this trailer.
Wow. I really liked, what's his name?
Mark Hamill.
He's hamming it up.
He's not? Okay. I have to wait for Kyle to finish laughing. I saw that coming.
It was a fake laugh.
Okay, right. It still took up time. Mark Hamill, the fact that this is not the Luke Skywalker we once knew.
Yeah,
he's just so different. I'm really can't wait. Honestly, I really can't. This is going to be incredible.
Me neither.
As Kyle would say, I think he and I already have The Last Jedi reserved as the number one movie of the year on our top 10 lists.
I was like, because me and Alexis were talking the other day, and we were like, okay, so my top 5 favorite movies of the year so far, my number one favorite is The Last Jedi, and he laughed because you know it's true. You know the fact that that's going to go at the end of our end podcast.
I like
that's the way
things,
it's going to go.
And then you guys come in, and then like you and it's like too much, so that it makes me hate them.
Well, hold on, Kyle.
So
what,
you
what
hate
was the number,
love?
Wait. Oh, Kyle.
What?
What was the number one? What was the number one movie for you last year?
Rogue One.
Oh God.
What was the number one movie the year before?
The Force Awakens.
I'm disgusted. I'll just throw that out there.
Now, to be fair, like, The Force Awakens was my favorite movie of 2015, but Rogue One barely... Actually, you know what? It's like, it's out of my top five. Because my favorite movie last year was La La Land.
Uh-huh.
So... Rogue One didn't even crack my top five. So don't, like, we have different degrees of, you know.
But to me, the reason why is because it moved me emotionally. Because it moved me emotionally, especially tying in with my favorite movie of all time. So far, my number one favorite film of all of this year is The Last Jedi. If
it does everything right, it'll probably crack my top 10.
Wow. Okay. Because I know your number one favorite film of the year is going to be Logan.
So far, there's a couple of films that are very, like, very, very close.
But
like The Last Jedi.
We'll get to our top eventually.
Okay, one more thing before we move on.
Okay.
So... or actually two things. Yay or nay on the porgs?
Yeah, they're fine.
Eh.
I like them.
They're fine.
And then the Ice Fox. Why do I get the feeling that Dave Filoni had a huge influence on that? Because he is obsessed with wolves.
Screw you. Because when I told you that, you're like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? How dare you say that Dave Filoni had influence? You don't know nothing.
Dave Filoni and Rian Johnson are huge anime fans, and I get like I get screams of like that's an anime character.
But you also know that Dave Filoni is a key figure in choosing the designs for all the films.
True. So, there you go. Also, Pablo Hidalgo likes likes 80s kind of characters and creatures and all that. So, yeah, you get a little look of all three of them combining their input.
And by the way, Carrie Fisher looked amazing.
Yes, she looked amazing.
She just stood there.
And
she owned it.
She owned it.
Oh my god. Fanboys are the worst.
She just stood there. Like, she looked amazing. I'm talking about the wardrobe. I mean, honestly.
Her outfit, my god.
Exactly.
Girl. anyway.
Fanboys are the worst.
Let's talk about New Mutants.
Wait, how long was that discussion?
It was an hour.
Oh, it was long. New Mutants, guys.
New Mutants. Let me talk about this. Okay. There's always this war between, you know, the nerds on the internet.
Yeah.
And at the cons.
You mean nuclear holocaust?
Sure. Yeah, it's really bad. Like, it's people at each other's throats. Marvel sucks. It's for kids. DC sucks. Hack Snyder, you know, all this back and forth. I think
that needs to be a hashtag.
I'm pretty sure it already is.
Hashtag Hack Snyder.
I think
it was created by Alexis Soto.
Our own Alexis Soto here, I think, runs his own anti-DC website. On
well,
the low.
I mean, if you're gonna plug that in, we should say Hack Snyder is the least of their problems.
Okay, I'm not trying to get into this, Alexis.
Oh my god.
My whole point is that there's this war out there. And I think while people were having this stupid war that I think is completely meaningless.
There's war!
If a movie's good, a movie's good. While all of this has been going on, Fox has came, snuck in, and been doing what both studios have been claiming to be doing this whole time. They did an amazing comedy with Deadpool. They did a great Western with Logan. And now, and this really surprised most people, and it really surprised me. They did
a
full-blown horror film with the New Mutants, and I am loving this. I am loving what Fox is doing. They are taking chances. They are giving their freedom to their filmmakers to make things like this.
However, we are looking at New Mutants, which is directed by Josh Boone, and the guy directed The Fault in Our Stars.
Okay, we could have gotten to that eventually, Kyle. My point was, I'm really excited that they continue their trend of trying out different genres, and not just trying them, going full-blown and just really doing them. Plus, I don't know if it's rated R, but they're really hitting on genres and the type of filmmaking that really Marvel can't do. They just can't do. They can't make a
Marvel
Deadpool.
Marvel Studios.
They can't make Marvel's, and the MCU can't do. They can't make a Logan, and they certainly can't make a New Mutants. Yeah, we'll get into what you said right now. Alexis, what do you think?
I mean, here I am. I stand corrected. I mean, and I think you and I have the onus to say that, oh God, we were wrong. We were actually wrong. A couple weeks back or months back, we had a show on this network talking about the future lineup of the Marvel Fox films. And aside from perhaps X-Force, there really wasn't anything that really was that interesting to look at. And then you have the situation that happened today in which, I'm sorry, I mean, that honestly was a legitimate surprise. I didn't see that coming. This is a straight-up horror movie that Fox is doing. And even though, like, for me, I still don't care about these characters. I don't know these characters. But I'll tell you what, this movie is now on my radar. And aside from that, I am now interested and invested to see how this thing performs. Because I think what is so refreshing about this is somebody out there is actually listening to what we have to say. Because this is exactly what Fox should be doing. Fox should be going to places where Marvel Studios can't go. because we've seen when Fox tried to go Marvel Studios in X-Men Apocalypse, and that didn't work out too well. And then they switched the game. And now if you look at Deadpool, Logan, and now New Mutants, you have three genres of film right there masked with comic book characters. That's incredible. And I'm just incredibly proud of them for actually doing the right thing. And I'm excited now, again, with the news that obviously Drew Goddard is doing X-Force. Like, wow, color me wrong. The one that I think we're still on the fence of is Dark Phoenix, but everything else seems to be
legit.
Wow, legit. And honestly, it's like, if you want a direct competitor with Marvel, it's Fox. Because honestly, I'm sorry, but like, DC is so funny. We've said this for so many months about their squandered opportunity. You see this shit that Fox is doing, Warner Brothers? You had that opportunity, and it's so funny. It's like, you claim, like, there was these recent comments that Geoff Johns said that the after Justice League, the remaining DCEU, which it's not called the DCEU anymore, or it never was, but that's another thing altogether, but the remaining films in that universe will be less connected. They'll stay in the same universe, but they won't be as linked together as Marvel films at. And he was praising this whole director's vision mentality. And yet no one asks the question, well, if that's the way you're going to run the rest of this universe, what, therefore, is the point of the Elseverse universe?
That's what I kept saying. Fox is doing this without needing an Elseworlds bullshit type thing. They're just making good films using X-Men characters. You don't need this setup of, oh, we're going to have multiple movie universes, and then we'll have this here and this here and this here. Just make a good film. That's all you need to do is make a good film. And I see them just trying to do that. We're not concerned with movie universes. If it's good, we'll give it a sequel. If it's not, we can move on to other characters. But they're like, we're just making a good film, and we're going to try out different genres and different areas where we could push the superhero films that they've never been pushed before. Before we get again to what you said, initial reactions on the trailer.
First of all, I love the trailer. I love the trailer. It was amazing. Good choice of song. Good. it had another Brick in the Wall by Pink Floyd. For those listening. Had a great choice of song. I love the creepy vibes that I get from this. I love the imagery. It looks very different than what we've seen before in a comic book film. I love the dark look to it. I love like the way that it's color graded. I just love everything about it. It is really good. To me, the way I'm looking at this movie, I'm very much looking forward to it like episode 9, because it does have good people in it, and working around it. However, the only thing that I have against this movie is the fact that Josh Boone is worked on like one other film, and it's called The Fault in Our Stars, and that movie is not good, let's face it.
Have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
All the way through?
All the way through. And I was like, okay, it's not good. So,
It has an 81% Rotten Tomatoes.
Fake news.
The Fallen Arts.
I'll be honest, I didn't think it was bad. I didn't love it, but I was like, I'm liking it more than I thought I would. But I will say, it's like, I don't see that and think, give him a horror film.
Can I actually just very quickly want to update something? Because Kyle mentioned there a couple weeks back, we had this discussion on episode 9. that Chris Terrio was going to be co-writing the film with J.J. Abrams. I actually have some further information to update that could ease tensions with that issue.
What?
It turns out, based on the sources that I heard, that Chris Terrio was primarily responsible for the dialogue and the scenes between Alfred and Bruce. And that's about where it went.
I could see that, because maybe Ben Affleck brought him in and he's like, he's my guy. I want him working on my scenes and my stuff, sprucing them up.
Especially because, like, that...
And those were all the best scenes of the film, too.
Exactly. That, and also, who else wrote the other stuff? David S. Goyer.
And that does... The rest of the stuff does sound like...
David Goyer, yeah. the guy that wrote Green Lantern with Ryan Reynolds.
And especially Man of Steel.
So it's like, what kind of script do you get when you have somebody atrocious like David Goyer and someone good like Chris Terrio? So I think we might need to reevaluate what we think about that script and who to blame. Who's to blame for that purpose?
He wrote, well, again, Justice League, we'll have no clue. Yeah, I guess it's really going to come down to episode 9. To see, you know, where he is, as far as I'm concerned. But I understand your reservations, and I have them too. Because I was looking at the film, and I was like, okay. First of all, I love horror films. I think horror films are great. They're a lot of fun.
Hey, this thing went close to your heart.
Yes, it did.
It went after your heart.
It went after my heart, right in the middle. But
like
I was
Peter, here you go.
I was asking myself, would I be interested if it was just a horror film, the word mutants was not involved at all, and I just saw the trailer, would I still be interested? I would probably be like, eh. Okay. I would be intrigued by the actors and actresses they have.
But namely, Anya Taylor-Joy and Maisie Williams.
I keep telling you, Anya Taylor-Joy, she is going to get an Oscar eventually. One day, very soon.
And one day she can present that Oscar to maybe Casey Affleck.
I will not dignify that with a response.
I'm sorry, Brie Larson.
The poor girl. I will say, though, this was just a teaser. It was just a teaser.
But a hell of a teaser, though.
And I felt it was more of just to announce to everyone, this isn't going to be what you think it is. We're going full horror. If
this is not going to go the way you think.
Exactly. Yes.
The theme of the show.
Right.
No. Again, what I was saying is, if by the second trailer, I'm still like, would I still be interested with this if it wasn't? And if it wasn't mutants and it wasn't superhero, and the answer is no, then I'm going to be worried. Uh-huh. But right now I'm not that worried, because to be honest, I really like the teaser for episode 8. The only thing that I really grasped on, it was like, oh, that's really cool, is the last line by Luke. And with this, it's sort of the same thing. The only thing I'm really grasping on, being like, oh, that's cool, is the whole horror aspect. But the fact that these are kids with powers, and I think, I don't know much about the New Mutants either. And one of them was that, like, one of them shows the things you fear. So it's a little bit like It in that aspect, and you view it maybe even with a more like sort of whodunit serial killer thing on the side too. Like one of the mutants is going crazy killing the other kids and using that power of fear on them. That could be really cool, especially because these kids have mutant powers as well, and the way that plays and the back and forth. You could do some really interesting things.
And not only that, but character-wise, we all know that X-Men have very interesting pasts.
Yes.
And
the way
that they could go into different ways in which they present their pasts, and especially with good actors behind them, it could be another added bonus to that. Much like what they have done with the past X-Men films, but just throw on some horror elements and some fear and...
I never cared about New Mutants, and then now I care a hell of a lot. And I think that's really big. What's going to be really interesting to see is how this plays with really everyone else. because I feel like a lot of people are ticked off they didn't get their generic superhero movie.
I'm actually all for it because they are going that different direction.
Yeah, I know.
How many times on this show have we said that we're not interested in a typical X-Men film anymore?
I'm just not.
No, and then this comes out, and this has some MCU films. This movie actually has balls, you know, when it's doing that stuff. But again, that's a contributing to the fact that they could do stuff that the MCU can't do. Mm-hmm. But what they're doing is that they're actually going for different genres, and it is really amazing on how they're tackling these different. They did like you said before, they did comedy, they did it really well. They did a Western drama, and with Logan, and that was fantastic. Probably a lot of people's favorite film of the year, probably. And then you have New Mutants coming out. And there's a lot of promise, a lot of signs of promise, and I'm very much looking forward to it. How about?
Well, I mean, to be fair, it's like, it's not necessarily that Marvel Studios can't, it's just that they can't do it to that intensity. They've done comedies, obviously, and they've done certain...
They can't do R-rated raunchy comedies.
They can't do the rated R
where there's any sex montages.
Aspect of horror, drama, or comedy. Mm-hmm. They can't touch that. Mm-hmm. And I think partly it's because I don't think they want to. Number one, and number
it's
two,
their brand.
They it's their brand. So it's like that's not their wheelhouse now, and
that's okay.
But yeah, that's okay.
Because yeah. I like a wide range in films. I like having these, you know, hard R Western, and then the crazy 80s, you know, explosion of fun that Thor Ragnarok is going to be. There's a place in the movie theater for both, and there very much is space for both because they're doing different things. If all of them were doing the same thing, there wouldn't be space.
And that's also kind of a truth thing to point out. It's like, much like Marvel can't do nothing like Logan or like the New Mutants looks like, I'd be very skeptical of Fox trying to do something as crazy as Ragnarok,
yeah.
Much less DC.
Time for a reign of hate. and let's discuss the Justice League trailer. Peter Martinez?
Yes?
What do you think of the Justice League trailer?
Alright, the Justice League trailer. Give a little history.
Oh, I forgot about this one.
Yeah. A little history on the Justice League trailers. There was one for one. The initial Comic-Con trailer they released all the way back after BBS, I hated. I thought it was terrible. Completely reactionary. Did not like it. The one after that, I actually really liked. And I I messaged you guys kicking myself like, damn it, I'm starting to get excited for Justice League.
Yeah.
This one didn't push me any further. I was just like, okay, that's coming out. Nothing really got me excited. There was one thing where I was like, this is really good, and it's giving me a little hope. So, ironically, Superman. And the beginning with Clark
that
Kent.
Scene. Yeah.
All the color, and, you know, he's in the field, and he's smiling, and he's having a moment with, what's her name?
Lois Lane,
and it's like, wow, I'm getting more emotion in this little, like, 10-second clip of the whole trailer than I've gotten in all of BVS and Man of Steel. So, I'm like,
that's... And Suicide Squad.
Well, he wasn't in Suicide Squad, so I leave that one out.
Oh, okay, I think about the movies
I was talking
general.
Specifically with Clark Kent character and Superman.
Yeah.
So, if they handle him better, because Superman is, like, my top two favorite comic book characters of all time. If they are able to fix Superman, I'm in, like, that's a big deal. A big, big deal. The rest of it, I know this sounds like hypocritical saying that the CGI is ugly and it's too much, especially because every other Hollywood film has that.
Mm-hmm.
But the CGI really is ugly and it's too much. The red skies and all of that huge thing,
But I thought you guys loved the red color.
Right? This is not going to go the way you think, Kyle. That's the theme of the show. That's the theme. No, I just found it really ugly. And just... it's bright and all over the place, but it's also really drowned out. And the action looks too much, like, sort of... like we got with Before the Force Awakens, it's like all I'm getting is actually not much story. And we all know Superman's going to come back. He's going to wear the black suit and then they're going to team up and fight. I think I'm going to like the film, but in fact, walking out of it, because how we do the After Darks, I'm probably going to be pretty excited just because I am in love with these characters from the comics, not from the films, except for Wonder Woman. She's good.
Except you still had an issue with her.
Yeah, but she's easily...
No, I mean, not...
She's easily...
Not the movie. I meant the trailer. You had an issue with her.
Oh, yeah. You reminded me.
There was a moment where she smiled at the camera.
Yes. And it's not that she smiled at the camera. It's just I have this pet peeve with in movies. Whenever you see, like, there's these action films and they have women in it, and they're in these massive battles, but then at the end of it, their hair is perfect, like they just came out of the salon, no dirt, no mess anywhere, perfect makeup, and like they pretend like, oh, I've just been through a battle, and it's like, no, you just came out of the dressing room, you know, primed and perfect, and this is this huge, massive battle, red everywhere, not blood, just the sky.
But she's a god.
Parademons.
She looks like she's posing for a photo
shoot.
She
looks like she's selling Tresemme. Like, she turns and smiles, winks at the camera, hair is just so perfect. She has the makeup, and I'm like, she is not in a massive battle.
If after a battle and my hair looked that good, I would buy Tresemme too.
But it pulls me out, and I never feel like she's in any danger because of that.
Oh.
And I guess that's my thing.
Okay.
Because I was thinking about it. I'm like, what about other female characters similar? But then I thought back to, like, Black Widow. Even Black Widow, like, she'll get scuffed up
like
after
in the
battle.
Like, to me, there's a scene when Captain America was like, oh, you know, let's do this. And they use the shield and she puts like that. That specific scene, like, you saw, like, a cut on her lip.
She's got dirt. Like, she's been, dirt. It's like, she's been
her
in some
hair's kind of messy. It's still a little nice, but you saw, like, stray hairs once in a while.
I feel like the end of the Justice League battle, you're going to get that one moment where Wonder Woman comes at the end and in slow motion of her whipping her hair. Ding! And then she does the whole thing where she crosses her arms. And it's like, it is badass, but I'd feel more for the character if I felt she was in danger, I guess. It's that whole, when being super is too super, that's the reason I always saw, I connected more with the Marvel characters to a certain extent, because they felt more like humans that just had powers, and the Justice League always felt like gods. Like, they're just so amped up and powerful. And you see that here, even though I love the characters. And Cyborg does look ugly, the CGI. I don't like the way it looks. Like I said, coming out of the film, I'm probably gonna really enjoy it. But subsequent thinking about it a few days later and subsequent viewings, I'll be like, it was good, but it didn't. It didn't wow me. I'll enjoy it.
I concur rather unanimously with what Peter said. I will say, though, as though it might be as a surprise to a lot of people, I actually did feel some genuine emotion and feels, as they are referred to.
You like the red?
In the opening. The opening.
Oh, okay. The opening was great.
Opening, I was there, and while I was watching, I'm like, why do I suddenly care? Like, oh, okay. Well, maybe because I love Amy Adams. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what it is. But it was actually a genuine moment that was beautiful. And I thought it was unique to begin a trailer with that kind of scene. So I think that easily was the best part of the trailer, and I think what worked the best. But I think in general, what is really evident now, because I think this is the fourth trailer, if I'm not mistaken, for this movie.
Yeah.
I think it's more evident in this trailer more than ever that this is a movie that had two different directors on it. Because I can totally see that opening and moments like a cyborg carrying Aquaman, or maybe even where that moment toward the end where Ezra Miller is like geeking out over the bat sign, and you know, his I can see moments like those which actually work,
that being perhaps Whedon,
yeah, being Whedon's, but and then that I actually did like those aspects of that trailer, but then the rest of the trailer played and it kind of drowned everything out, because the action was literally like copy and paste what BVS did. So I could easily label that Zack Snyder's work. Like what Peter said, I'm not a fan of the Red Sky. It looks ugly. And like that would be one thing by itself, but you can really tell a lot of the CG isn't very good. And that's a problem for a movie like this.
The CG feels very rushed.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, given the fact that they're still doing reshoots, they're probably still finishing up, like, recording some other pickups and then putting it into the
Joss
movie.
Joss Whedon has probably grown hair and then had it fall out by now.
It does look rushed, huh? Because a lot of it just felt, it looked ugly, it looked fake, and then, because there's this scene, I guess the Batmobile is shooting fire at something, and the sky is red and fire is red, and it all just kind of blends in, and there are many, many explosions happening left and right. Like, at one point, there's like so many things happening on screen, like, I just get lost, like, where what do I pay attention to?
I will say, though, another positive, although this has no bearing on the film at the end of the day, I think, I like the choice of song.
Oh, it was great.
I thought it worked well.
Yeah, it was great. And I thought it would have, I think it kind of brought the trailer up. But it would have been better if the action here is an issue. Because a lot of people were saying, and I think we agree, is like, if we watch this again and again and again, you can get an actual aneurysm because it happens so fast and there's so many cuts of action and action and action. But none of it looks new and interesting. It looks like the same old things that we've seen with BVS.
That's what alienates me to a certain extent to Man of Steel, but also really alienates me to that climax in BVS, where I was just like,
it's over the top.
Needlessly so, and just overly ridiculous, and it's so much so that you can't connect to it.
Yeah, you can't buy into it. You can just tell, like, that, come on.
So,
really.
And I hope maybe while we're sitting there and watching it, the way that the characters connect, some of that Joss Whedon charm and dialogue can help that.
Yeah, but I mean, based on the CG alone, if you compare it to Last Jedi, my God, is it trash.
Well, yeah.
I mean, literally. So, I mean, I hope they clean up those effects before the movie comes out in, like, less than a month.
A couple of thoughts. First of all, the song. Mm-hmm.
It's always the song, first of all, with you.
Heroes is one of my favorite David Bowie songs. But you know what trailer is bad when even the song doesn't make me feel, I guess?
Oh, you did not like this trailer?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Oh.
So I was like, okay. I guess it's Heroes. I get it. They're Justice League and they're doing their superhero stuff. But I was like, is this kind of a detriment on the trailer? Because they're kind of reminding me of Inhumans when they used Paint It Black.
That was disgusting. Yeah.
So it kind of reminded me of that.
I you know what, even I gotta defend Justice League. It was not that bad at all.
No, but it's like that's the kind of feel I got
okay
from the trailer.
Okay.
You know, so I was like, Is Medusa gonna come out and like freaking knock people out with like automatic weapons and stuff like that? I was like, no, this is not working for me. I cannot do that. I did feel a little emotion with the Clark Kent Lois Lane bit at the beginning.
Lois,
Mom. I like the end moment with the Flash looking at the bat signal, geeking out. He's gonna be the Spider-Man of this team.
And I don't like that.
Oh.
I gotta throw that out there right now. Hey, that's not the Flash's character. And I feel like they're doing that just to have that character. It's very popular to have the nerd character who says everything that the audience is thinking nowadays, and just sort of have that within a certain team or a film, that dynamic. And it's like, yeah, even at the point where he's like, oh my god, that's the bat signal, that means we go, and it's like, yeah, we get it, he's the nerd, he's gonna point out
he's
everything.
He's a nerd!
He's gonna say, oh, look at how cool everything is.
Yeah.
We get it.
It really feels like one of the executives is like, we need a character like that.
We need a Spider-Man. That's what it feels like. Although, I'm not gonna say that they took Spider-Man, because I think Justice League was... I don't know. Never mind.
Who knows
at this point?
It's my least favorite trailer so far. Mm-hmm. A lot of things do look good. Like, I definitely see Whedon's thumbprint in there somewhere. But overall, I think that it's another blockbuster trailer out there. So
nothing really set it apart.
Yeah.
It's another blockbuster trailer, but I think what did set it apart was, again, the noticeable terrible CG and just how ugly. Like, honestly, the production design or the art direction just doesn't look very inspiring. It just feels blah.
We'll see how it looks when it's fully rendered.
Yeah.
But for right now,
plus the Atlantean scenes look kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a month away, guys.
Yeah.
Like,
it comes out November 17th.
No, I already assumed that whatever was there is done already. So.
Okay. Let's get a little bit into it. Two final things. First of all, Stallone is going to direct Creed 2.
I'm okay with this.
Okay.
I don't really. What has he done before?
Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and that was a really good film. He's actually not a bad director. He's actually pretty good. Not amazing, but he can direct a good film.
And he seems to be like all for this Creed 2 going on, and it's not like half assed, and he's actually passionate about this project.
They're gonna bring back the Russian.
Hopefully.
No, they've already said that's where they're going with the sequel.
Oh, they're gonna bring Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Because him and Dolph Lundgren are tight.
I know. They've done the Expendables together and all that stuff. So that's gonna be actually pretty cool. It's that thing we know, guys.
But also, he's the one who killed his dad.
Oh. So,
emotionally, they can.
Yeah.
Character wise, they can hit some interesting beats. I'm looking forward to it, and yeah.
Alexis?
Yeah. Yes.
Ditto.
I think it's going to be really cool. So, this is where Alexis Soto comes in completely and gushes over his favorite television show. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 5, also known as Agents of Space, is returning.
Is that what it's known as?
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's going to come December 1st. With a two-hour premiere, and it's resuming the pod structure, whatever the fuck that is.
The pods.
Yeah, and then the first 20 minutes...
Great explanation.
The first...
great... Come on, Kyle, at least try to explain what things mean.
The first 20 minutes of the show, of the first episode, was shown at New York Comic Con with good buzz... So, Alexis, since this is your domain, Take it away.
Well, obviously, this thing, what's a couple of fascinating things about this. So just to, because Kyle didn't really bother to explain.
Did like I not that, do whole, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. justice?
Okay.
He knows the answer
Peter
to that.
Asked, Peter asked what the pods were, and you were just like, yeah. And you just said, okay, that wasn't really an explanation. Just people to remember that the pod structure of the last season was when they split it off into three different sections. So, like, Ghost Rider, LMD, Framework, or whatever.
Okay.
So that is being brought back, though not, like, I don't think it's going to be split off into three, more like two. They did confirm the first 10 episodes will be, right now, they didn't announce, like, it's being dubbed Agents of Space, but I think that's a pretty good guess to call it Agents of Space. So the first 10 episodes will be
Agents of Space!
That will be the first 10 episodes contained in that
or Agents
pod
of, Sword.
Of it. Yeah, they could call it that if they're going to do it. What was actually interesting about the details that came out of for the first 20 minutes is they're really going for this sense of mystery in this particular pod. They may take an actual bit to actually confirm if it's Sword or not, because if you've read the description, they basically get they're teleported away and they get sent off to this place and people are being murdered left and right. And they did confirm the Kree will be a big part of the season and different kinds of aliens. There were in the descriptions some designs that looked familiar, like a cross between Star-Lord and Iron Man. So they're based on what I'm reading, a cross. It's not the same thing. It's not a Ravager. Don't start me.
I just
okay,
I
you
want
and your
cool
negatives.
And interesting alien designs. I don't want it to be look at that blue guy. Look at that green guy. Oh my god, he's yellow. Like what is this? The original Star Trek series?
Nothing could be as bad as what they've done with Inhumans.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Doctor Who.
go on.
I think no, but here's what's really interesting about this is I think they really are going to have different kinds of aliens based on what I've read. You know, Peter, I told you, resident Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. hater David Griffin from Collider, or former now anyway, since he left. He was actually at the panel at New York Comic Con.
He didn't walk out in disgust.
No, he actually walked out saying that he was impressed. He was going to watch the season.
Almost as good as Inhumans?
Almost as good as Inhumans, we'll say that. I'm actually very excited to see this because a lot of other podcasters I was listening to were actually praising the VFX of those first 20 minutes.
That is important.
And they were saying, like, it's very, because they were saying, like, you could have fooled me. Apparently the budget was cut. Well, it does not look at all like that. They were actually,
it doesn't look like Inhumans.
I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would have benefited if they got IMAX behind it, you know, put in some IMAX money in there. I think that would have really,
I think that would have made it worse because if IMAX paid for it, ABC would have paid shit for it.
Yeah.
So let's just not get IMAX involved.
We're going to use IMAX. It's going to be huge. They're going to pay for it.
I think what's really exciting about all of this is that this sounds very promising. Absolutely very promising. And it comes back, and you will hear me say this every week. December 1st, Friday,
oh,
December 1st,
boy.
8 p.m. with a 2-hour premiere. That's exciting.
Put a stamp on it.
Are you guys looking forward to it?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Can't wait. I want to see.
Are you guys
going to
see the Inhumans?
We're going to see some Felinda. We're going to see some Felinda action. What the fuck are Inhumans?
I'll watch
Inhumans?
The finale.
You said you were going to watch all the episodes, Peter.
But
what happened?
You know,
a promise is a promise, Peter.
This is Scott Buck. They're just going to be dicking around for 8 episodes, just sitting there doing nothing.
You still
got
to watch them, Peter. I'm watching them. I watched episode 3. Guess what? It keeps getting worse.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It's so boring.
This has been Red Spotlight number 69. Check out our other podcasts on podcast.com and iTunes,
as well as our upcoming audio commentary on the Inhumans.
Yes,
the first 2 episodes.
and Peter Martinez's season review of Star Wars Rebels season 3.
It's coming up very soon.
Very soon. I just finished watching the recap for season 3. I'm already.
Kyle, can you continue with what you were going to say? Please continue.
So check out the Fantasy Fair. We got new things coming up. We have Once Upon a Retrospect, which is a new series.
Pinocchio.
We just released Pinocchio today, which we're recording on Friday, which by the time you're listening to this, it'll be Sunday, which will be up a couple of days after that. Check out Once Upon a Retrospect.
The Disney retrospect is on Home on the Range.
That'll be an interesting one.
I think I say do it.
What's it should have worked. Roseanne Barr as a cow. That should have worked.
As an animated cow.
That lands a lot of possibilities.
Wait. You just called Roseanne Barr a cow.
I do not condone what he said at all.
Roseanne Barr is a national treasure.
You assumed that. We should not go to assumptions or allegations.
Kyle, you said.
Anyway, check out Red Spotlight Entertainment.
Great idea to have Roseanne.
Everything is on iTunes and podcast.com. Check out YouTube.
Get the transcript.
The tapes. There better be tapes. Anyway.
There are. You're being recorded right now.
Oh my God. Ladies and gentlemen, check out Red Spotlight Entertainment. Kermit, Tori, take it away.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side?
Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. And rainbows have nothing to hide.
So we've been told, and some choose to believe it, but I know they're wrong, wait and see.
Yeah. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Wow, I wish I could sing like you.
Who said that every wish would be heard and answered? Who wished on the morning star?
Well, you know, somebody just thought of that, and someone believed it. And look what it's done so far. You know?
What's so amazing that keeps us stargazing? What do we think we might see?
Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. All of us under its spell, we know that it's probably magic.
Yeah. Have you been half asleep, and have you heard voices?
I heard them calling my name.
Mm-hmm. Is this the sweet sound that calls the young sailor?
The voice might be one and the same.
I've heard it too many times to ignore it. Something that I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers.